Are you ready to learn? Because my super experienced guests are ready to share some really valuable information. Make sure and listen all the way to the end to get help and support. So let's start with the best audio experience.
How to win in business with storytelling, how you can craft your story, and how you can get results, sales by writing the right story. Because today it's not like to write generic message that all other companies can do. You need to consider your audience preferences, customer persona, and many other things that's important today. I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Carol Lampert. How are you?
I'm excellent today. I'm so delighted to be talking with you and with your listeners and your watchers.
Nice. Yeah, looking forward to learn more about that. And before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, and why you have such great background behind you.
Oh, well, thank you for being interested in that. I'm a keynote speaker and a trainer and a learning designer. And my area of expertise is under the big umbrella of communication skills, and more specifically for leaders who work for large companies to help them increase their executive presence by learning the skills that actors use for great stage and screen presence, which is a long way around of me telling you my background, which is I started my career as a professional working actress. And so I've worked off Broadway, I've done a lot of television and film and commercials, and there is a point of view that actors have about showing up on screen and showing up on stage with their presence that I think are skills that leaders and executives can learn in business. So I've got my master's degree in theater, I have a minor in education, and I've been doing this kind of work for almost 25 years now. And then the subset of that, executive presence, you started our conversation today referring to storytelling. Actors and playwrights tell stories for a living. And so because I understand what good narrative structure is that makes a play or a television show or a movie work, we can apply those same concepts to business presentations as well. So that's a little bit about how I got to be doing what I do.
Nice. Love it. Okay, let's talk about your experience. Because, you know, I found that actors are creative people. You know, if you are talking about good actors, they play themselves or can understand the persona, what they need to show. So they spend time to learn about that. But I see many content creators usually try to copy someone else. For example, if they see high engagement content on TikTok, on Google, they usually create totally the same. It's a bad copy. So can you tell how it's important to be yourself? How it's important to consider your strong side? Because, for example, if I can't dance, sing, why I need to do it? You know, probably I can find another way. And many great influencers don't care about high engagement content because they play themselves and can get nice results. Any insights about that?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. I think at the heart of the question, Anatoly, that you're asking me is around authenticity. So it is true that what actors do for a living is we step into roles, and often those roles are created for us by the screenwriter or by the playwright. But the way that I might play a role, the exact same role, let's use like a famous role from Shakespeare. So there's a character called Portia. So thousands and thousands of actresses over 500 years have stepped into playing Portia. So how is Carol Lampert going to play Portia different than all of these thousands of actresses before? And that taps into the authenticity piece that you're talking about. So actors think deeply about, if I was in said situation, in these pretend circumstances, how would I feel? How would I show up? What would my voice sound like? I'm like, now I'm doing these gestures. What kind of gestures would I make? So that's the authenticity piece. So if we're thinking about content creation, which I know is what your listeners are interested in for their SEO, it's thinking about the role in two ways. Who is my audience? Who is going to be receiving or listening to my message? What are the things that are important to them? And from what those things that are important to them are also important to me, so that I can talk about them and show up in an authentic kind of way. So I'm curious what you think about my answer.
Nice. Love it. Okay. Let's talk how to learn audience, you know, because I see, for example, when companies usually use tools like Semrush, Ahrefs, Moz, many others, so they can get the average data that competitors have. But competitors might have different unique selling proposition, different strong size. And it's important to understand your customer. Can you tell how to learn customers before creating content?
Well, I'm hoping that the person that is creating the content also has had some experience talking to or learning about their own customer. And if they are not, they should have a conversation with the internal sales team or the internal marketing team. So that's kind of the first thing that occurs to me. The second thing that occurs to me is not only learning about the customer, but really thinking deeply about why does a particular customer need your product or service? What is their pain or what is their problem? So when I think about the stories that I might help a leader put together, either for sales or for marketing or for internal leadership to get buy-in to your own ideas, I always suggest that the people that's creating the content, the first question that they ask themselves is, what is my audience, or in your case, what is my customer worried about? What is my customer curious about? What are the hopes and dreams of my customer or my audience? And how can my product or my solution help solve their problem because they're worried or they're curious or they have hopes and dreams? And so part of it you can do through data analysis, but part of it you can do in a really human kind of way by thinking, okay, if I was someone who had that problem, what would be the things that would make me feel better? And how can I then talk about those in an authentic way to me?
Nice, nice. You know, once I watched a presentation about new Apple Watch, Tim Cook presented this smart gadget. And, you
apparently,
know,
you're wearing the new Apple Watch.
And, you know, after watching this presentation, I got the feeling of owning this Apple Watch. I got the feeling that this smart watch can decide my problems, can solve any problems that I have with running, with knowing the exact time, with my health issue. After that, I bought three pairs. For me, for my son, for my wife.
Oh,
yeah, three. Because, you know, they probably kill me, you know, if I just buy for myself, you know. But anyway, I got the feeling of having this Apple Watch, of owning them. And it's interesting that Tim Cook didn't share a lot of features about Apple Watch.
Yes.
He shared three stories of different people. And he told how Apple Watch has helped these people, you know, to decide their problems. Can you tell how to create this feeling? It's interesting, you know, to learn from big brands that can cover a huge audience, big audience, broad audience. But anyway, if we have our products, how to create the feeling that our products can solve problems?
Yes, I have many thoughts about this question, so I'm glad that you brought it up. And we have evidence that when somebody tells stories about their product, it works because you went and bought three Apple Watches because Tim Cook told three stories. So I'm happy to talk about that. So the first thing, the first thing that I'll introduce is storytelling structure. I think that might be a nice place for people to start if they're not experienced in telling stories. And as I shared with you, my background is as an actress and as a playwright. So we borrow this structure from Hollywood. And specifically, we borrow this structure from Pixar and from Disney. So here is the storytelling structure. If you have ever seen any Pixar or Disney movie, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., any of these stories follow this structure. So here it is. If you're listening and you're curious, grab a pen and paper. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, there was... Every day they, then one day, and because of that, this happened. And because of that, that happened. And because of the other thing, that, and until finally the biggest thing happened. And then they learned a lesson. So I'll break that down for everybody. So the first step is once upon a time there was, so we introduced the characters. So in this case, Tim Cook told a story about a customer, which is a real person, that's a character, that's living their life. And when they're living their life, day by day, they've got some kinds of problems. So once upon a time, there was a guy named Anatoly who was having some problems. Then one day, so that's the day that there's a change. So they come across the biggest problem that they have, or there's some big change that happens in narrative structure. We call that the inciting incident. What is the thing that happened today that makes my need for an Apple Watch extraordinary when all the days before I never knew that I needed an Apple Watch? So maybe I was late to an appointment, or maybe I want to lose a lot of weight and I'm having a hard time keeping track of my calories. Or maybe I didn't respond to a text because I didn't know that the text came in. And because of that, my girlfriend was upset at me and then we broke up. So we give some examples of like a bad thing that could happen, and that's the inciting incident. Because there's this inciting incident, all these things will happen. This happens, that happens, the other thing, until finally, so in my example, the inciting incident might be, I missed a text from my girlfriend and therefore I didn't, so, and then, therefore I didn't show up to dinner with her mother on time. And then her mother told her, this boyfriend of yours is terrible, until finally the girlfriend breaks up with you, all because you missed the text. Therefore, you should have had an Apple Watch. So that's good. We could, like, use that structure. And then we end the story by saying the moral of the story is. So if you're telling a personal story from personal experience, you might say something like, so what I learned from that experience was, or you might say, what I realized when that happened to me was. And then we want to push that out to the audience. So the reason that I'm telling you this whole story is because I want to make sure that you never get in a problem with your girlfriend's mother-in-law. So it could be something.
Yeah.
So that's structure.
Nice, nice. And yeah, I think we don't need to blame just one message, but who knows? And okay, I'm interested about creativity. For example, if I have structure, you know, yeah. And I see when people don't understand templates, they have template with structure, but they do the same that thousand others can do. So can you tell how to be creative on that way? For example, I have structure, but I need to use personalization about my customers and how to personalize as maximum as possible.
Thank you for asking this. So this leads into the second thing that I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. If you are somebody who is a leader of a team, that mostly I do leadership development, so that's my main area of expertise, but these things also apply for marketers and for salespeople. There's many different kinds of story. Now you have the structure, but there's more than one kind of story that you can tell. So for example, you can tell a customer success story. So you tell the story of an existing customer that already uses your product, and you tell the story of the problem that they had before they started using your product or your service. So that's one kind of story that you can tell. Another kind of story that you can tell is the origin story of your own company. Why does this company exist? When did we realize a lot of people have a problem and our product or service can help? And so what's the origin story of how that came to be? You can also tell a story if you are the individual, the salesperson. You might want to tell your own personal sales story. Why did I get into doing this kind of work? Why am I passionate about solving personally these kinds of problems for people? And then if you are in sales, you can have what I call the overcoming objection story. So that might not be as relevant for SEO in terms of, maybe it would, you could tell a story about that. I'm thinking of often there's a price objection. People don't want to buy your product or service because they say it's too expensive, or they do want to buy your product or service if you give them a discount. So that's the price objection. So a story to tell about the price objection could be a time that you yourself were willing to spend more money on a product or a service than you originally intended. And so I'll give an example of a friend of mine. When a very good friend of mine had her first child, she needed to buy a lot of equipment. You have a baby, you have to go buy a lot of equipment. One of the things you have to buy is a car seat. You cannot drive your baby around in a car legally unless you have a car seat. So she did a little bit of research online and she's like, I don't want to spend more than $60 on a car seat. Then she goes to the store and the salesman talks her through all of the benefits of the different kinds of car seats. This one is easy to take out because the clip is very easy. This one you can take out of the car and put it automatically into a stroller. This one has a place for the baby to put their little drink. She ended up spending $200 on a car seat when she thought she was only going to spend $60 on a car seat, because the salesman talked to her about all of the extra value that she was going to get out of the more expensive one. So when you have to overcome a price objection, you want to tell a story of your own personal experience when you spent more than you wanted to spend because you realized you were going to get more value. So there's lots of different kinds of stories that you can tell. So in answer to how do I get creative, you don't have to invent it. You don't have to get creative and make like a Hollywood movie. We make it up. It's fiction. But when we're selling products and services, it's not fiction. It's real. So we retell the real stories of either real customers that had an experience with us, our own experience of doing what we want to do, and our own experience maybe of spending more than we ever really wanted to spend. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. You know, it's so familiar. You know, for example, if I go, I don't know, to grocery store to buy something like salt, just to buy salt, but I can get back, you know, from the store with two bags, you know, of different products.
Groceries, right?
Yeah.
So okay. I would say once upon a time, there was someone that went to the grocery store hungry. And because he was hungry, he ended up spending more money than he thought he was going to spend buying salt.
Yeah, I know about that. Okay, let me share a story. You know,
okay. About, I'd love to hear a story. Tell me.
Yeah, about Lloyd Richards. He wrote a book. He wrote a book in 2012. The book called Stone Maidens. He couldn't sell this book for around...
Repeat the name again. Storm Maidens?
Stone Maidens.
Okay.
Thank Stone you. Maidens. And yeah, he couldn't sell this book for 11 years. He spent some money in marketing, sales, but he can't. Then his daughter posted content on TikTok about this book. From account with zero followers, the video became viral. Today, this book is bestseller on Amazon. So his daughter created, filmed a video, simple video. I watched this video a few times because it's not nice looking design, just creative, interesting, simple, creative video. After watching this video, I got it. It's not like many other videos. It's new, something new. And for example, I often get feedback about new movie from my friends. The feedback, it's like nothing special. I watch the same movies, the same plot. According to this TikTok video, that plus 50 million people watch, many of them bought this book. It's bestseller on Amazon because of creative video. Can you tell how to stand out from the rest? Because, I have template. I understand my customers. But in the end, it's important to bring something that most competitors ignore. Any insights about that?
This is a beautiful story that you told. I just want to point out that you used the storytelling structure. So for people listening, once upon a time there was, you gave us the name of the guy, he wrote a book. Every day he wasn't selling his book. Then one day his daughter put a video on TikTok. So the moral of the story is when you get the word out, people will buy your book. So that was a great use of the structure that we were just talking about. I have not seen this particular video that you're referring to, so I don't know what makes it look new or different or sexy.
By the way, it's storytelling. That was storytelling. She wrote a story on this video that his father wrote a book, and she wants to help him to get more sales, a few sales, more sales. She didn't know that this video became viral, but she told a story that a father spent 14 years to write a book, and she wanna help him to get a few sales, you know. So, that's great.
So what I'm hearing is your question to me is how do you stand out from the rest? What you're telling me embedded in the story is she wasn't thinking about standing out from the rest. She was showing up authentically, talking about what really happened and what's really important to her. I love my father. My father's created this great thing. I would love this great thing that my father, who I love, created that other people have the experience of. And it sounded like what people responded to was her own authenticity and love and passion about her father and her father's project. So I think if people focus less on how do I stand out from the rest and focus more on what's important to me and how can I talk about that from the heart, that is the thing that reaches through the TikTok screen and makes a connection with someone that's going to go to Amazon and buy a book.
Yeah, love it. I'm interested about storytelling in business. B2B is different segment, but I found in the end we need to share a story for a human being as well. So in B2C, in B2B, we share stories for human being, but this human being needs to transfer this data to stakeholders, you know, to tell that you have important products. Can you tell what kind of difference to share story for B2B and B2C?
Well, I would argue that B2B is actually needing to include the C. So, and I'll use myself as an example. I have a business. My business is Carol Lempert Speaking. And the service that I provide is teaching corporate executives and their teams how to tell stories, how to improve their executive presence. And I sell my services to the head of learning or the head of marketing at a big company. So the sale is a B2B sale, but the conversation is between me, the human being, Carol Lempert, and the person at the other end named Linda, who's head of learning and development, that's going to buy from me. So when I think about the story that I'm going to tell about what's going to happen, I don't talk about, well, Carol Lempert is going to help a Fortune Financial company do XYZ. I talk about the fact that Carol Lempert, the person, is going to help the individual participant in the workshop who happens to be one of your employees learn how to tell stories. Because they're going to learn how to tell stories, they're going to be better influencers at your company. Because they're going to be a better influencer at your company, they are going to help you grow. And they also, from a personal level, are going to get promoted faster because people are going to see that they are an influencer in the company. So I still am telling a story about a single human being, even though the conversation is happening at a B2B level. So if you are someone representing a business that needs to sell to another business, what you need to think about is who are the customers of that business. And you want to tell the story about how you're going to help them with their customers, not necessarily how you're going to help them with their business plans. Mm-hmm. So that's the B2B. Mm-hmm. B2C is the same thing. If you're talking directly to the customer, then you want to tell the stories of other customers that have had success with your product and service. And the main categories to think about that, you know, these are kind of the main areas people are worried about. They're worried about their health. So is your product or service going to help them with their health? They're worried about their wealth. So is your product or service going to help them with their wealth or make more money or save more money? And they are worried about their relationships. Is your product or service going to help them with their love life, with their relationships, with stop having fights with their mother-in-law? So if you can have stories in those three categories, then you're probably going to be able to have a good message communicated to your customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Love it. Love it. Yeah, awesome. Okay, Carol, I have the question about your LinkedIn profile. Oh, I open your LinkedIn profile because I love opening LinkedIn profiles, and I found supercharge your presence. Can you explain what this quote means? Because I see this quote on your bio, I see this quote on your background. So what does it mean, supercharge your presence?
Yes. So I talk about when I talk about presence, I'm talking about someone's executive presence, or sometimes it's referred to as leadership presence. So presence is made up of four different components. So, and I think about them, I call it the mechanics of presence is my framework. So there's four different components or four different dimensions. The first one is, what do people see when they look at you? And this is for individual presence, not in terms of branding an entire company. So you, Anatoly, what do people see when they look at you? So I see a very handsome man that has a beard. He's got short hair. Right now you happen to be wearing, you know, headphones because we're in a podcast. But when I'm talking about presence, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about in regards to presence is, does the person look like they know what they're doing? Does the person look comfortable in their own skin, as opposed to kind of nervous or shy and they're making their body too small? So what do people see? The second dimension is, what do people hear? What do they hear in your voice? So that has two levels. That's the pitch and the pace and the pronunciation and your ability to take pauses. So the tone of your voice, and also the words that you choose to speak. So if you are someone who is a leader, let's say, and you have someone on your team coming to give a presentation to you, and you drill them with questions, what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? They're going to leave that interaction feeling like it was an interrogation. So that's not going to help you have good presence. But if you have a situation where you say to the person who's giving you information, tell me more about, and then you go, oh, that's really interesting. And what do you think about that? And what would your idea be how we would solve that problem? Then the other person's going to feel part of it. Then they're going to think you have good presence. So what do people hear with your word choice? The third is, how do people feel? So how do they feel about themselves after they've had an interaction with you? Do I leave the podcast with Anatoly feeling like, wow, he made me feel so important, I felt like a celebrity? Then you have good presence. If I leave the podcast going, oh, he asked me all these questions because he thinks I don't know what I'm doing, then the presence is lower. You would do, in fact, have very good presence on this score as we're talking about it. And nice. The last, you're welcome. I mean that very much. And you have a lot of enthusiasm, and I can tell you have a big appetite for learning. And the last quadrant is being in the moment. So the core word of presence is being present. And so what that means is not multitasking or being distracted when you're at a meeting, when you're in a one-on-one conversation. If I was in the middle of this podcast talking to you and I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. And then I'm grabbing my phone and I have to text my mother. I'm not being very present with what's happening with you and I right now. So when I say supercharge your presence, I invite people to do a self-assessment on those four dimensions that I just talked about. What do people see when they look at me? Do I look confident? What do people hear when they talk to me? Do I sound monotone or do I have a great tone of voice? How do people feel after they've had an interaction with me? Do they feel better about themselves because they met me today? And am I in the moment? And then you figure out in those four dimensions what you need to work on. And then when you work on it, you have supercharged your presence.
Nice. Yeah, interesting. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Let's talk more about that. You know, for example, something we can't fix. For example, I tried to fix my pronunciation. I couldn't. You know, it's my Ukrainian pronunciation. And I think everyone has advantages, disadvantages. For example, once I read a story about a girl. She was an introvert so much, but she decided to post content on Tumblr about herself, and a million people started to follow her. She didn't play anyone. She didn't try to show that she's different. She was transparent about herself, and people love it. A million people are the same. I think, for example, you know, you can teach how to present yourself. And once I had a conversation with Jim Edwards. He worked in Business Insider 10 years. Then the company was sold for $500 million. And he told me that their success depends on creating non-boring content. And I see when people copy others, they create something boring because it's not transparent. It's not like, you know, you can feel it's artificial. So can you tell more about considering that people are different? And for example, if my audience wants to get funny guy, but I'm not funny guy, you know, it takes time, you know, to practice, to tell jokes, you know, it depends. Some people can, some people can't, because we have different voice, different presence. Any insights how to find strong sides in different characters and help you with that?
Yes. I think at the heart of your question, you're asking about the nuance between what skills can I concentrate on developing. So for example, if you found out that your audience loves a funny guy, and if you found out, you know, sometimes I'm funny, but sometimes I'm not, it's hit or miss, and I'd like to be more funny more consistently, then there are techniques that you can learn from comedians to tell better jokes and to set your stories up in a way that are funny. So there are skills that can be mastered. And I'll give you one, for example. If you're going to give somebody a list of three, so, and this is on the goal of I want to be funnier. So if you're going to give somebody a list of three things, so let's even say I'm going to go grocery shopping. So if I'm going to go grocery shopping, the list of three things would be expected things to find in a grocery store. Like we were just talking about salt. I'm going to go to the store. I have to buy salt. I have to buy pepper. I have to buy garlic. So those three things are all the same. But if you want to be the funny guy, then you do two things the same and the third. This is a technique I'm teaching. Two things the same and the third thing different. I'm going to buy salt, I'm going to buy pepper, and I'm going to buy a car. Well, like, so I'm not going to buy a car at a grocery store. Right, you're laughing, right? I'm not going to buy a car at a grocery store. So there's a technique that you can learn to make things funnier by going, oh, if I go rule of three, I give three things, and then I go same, same, different. The different thing is a surprise. The surprising thing makes the audience laugh. So that's a skill and a technique that somebody can master. So it's not just, oh, I won the genetic lottery. I'm a funny person. Yeah. Funny is a skill that can be learned and cultivated. That's one thing. Second thing, you talked about the fact that you know that you, when you speak in English, that you speak with an accent from your mother country. How much time and effort have you put into trying to eliminate your accent? Or maybe you think my accent is who I, you have or no?
I think I spent like a few years trying to fix it. You know, I spoke with some people who can do it fast, and yeah, someone who can't, like me, you know. For example, I can keep doing this, but I found that I can lose my other skills if I pay so much attention to improve pronunciation, but I can lose my experience in marketing that, you know, takes so much time to learn, because marketing is a quickly changing world. I need to learn, to update, to experiment. So I decided to pay attention what I like more. So
yes, so exactly to the point, how much time and effort and practice am I willing to put in to master the skill that I want to master?
Yeah.
Because you are funny, because you are charming, because you are easily understandable, it's not so important that you eliminate your accent. It's more important that people understand when you speak. So instead of working on the pronunciation of the words, maybe focusing on slowing down 10%, so the words that you do speak, people, their ear can grab it like a good ear cookie, that might be a way to think about working on your voice. But that's a skill. It's learning to master a skill. Then, going back to the other thing, if I say, you know what, my accent is the thing that makes me different than anybody else who has an SEO podcast, I'm going to own that proudly, that that is my differentiator, then maybe I tell more stories about my home country. Or then maybe I tell stories about I tried to lose my accent, and here's why I don't want to lose my accent, because I'm more focused on putting my time and effort into learning everything about SEO. That makes it authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice, nice. Love it. Carol, I have the question about common mistakes. Can you list common mistakes? Because, you know, in my life, I made a lot of mistakes. I keep doing them, you know. But I love to learn from mistakes. So any mistakes that people can avoid by crafting their storytelling?
Yes. The most common mistake that people make when they tell stories is the stories go on too long. So if you're giving a work presentation, and let's say you have half an hour to speak, you don't want 10 minutes of your 30 minutes to be telling the story, because you have a lot of work content that you're going to get to, and people are going to be like, why is this person wasting my time telling me about themselves? So general rule of thumb in a work business presentation is you want your story to be around 90 seconds to 2 minutes long. So that's the first common mistake. The story goes on too long. Second common mistake, people tell the story in the past tense versus telling the story in the present tense. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. I just was telling a story yesterday at a workshop that I was teaching about the time in my own life where I understood that storytelling and leadership had a relationship. And that story happened when I was in the third grade and I was running for my first leadership position to be class president. So here's how the story starts. It's 90 degrees in June. The sweat's pouring down the back of my neck. I'm sitting at the front row of my third grade classroom and I'm watching my teacher. Her name is Mrs. Lanier. I'm watching her count ballots. So I tell you that story. It's from the third grade. It was 50 years ago. So the story happened in the past, but I tell you the story in the present tense. And I'll point out exactly what I mean by that. It is 90 degrees in June, as if today it's June and it's 90 degrees outside. I'm sitting at the front row of my classroom. I'm watching my teacher count ballots. Her name is Mrs. Lanier. So that's a common mistake. People tend to tell the story in the past tense versus the present tense. And the impact of switching to present tense is that the audience feels like the story's happening right now. It's like an action adventure film, and they're just being sucked into it. When they hear stories in the past tense, they listen. It's interesting. It's like the story washes over them, but they're not as activated by it. So that's the second common mistake that people make. The third common mistake that people make is they tell you the whole story, but they don't tell you the point. So unless you include the moral of the story, and literally, I mean, what I learned from that experience was, and the reason I'm telling you this story today is, and then you link the reason to everything else that we're going to talk about today, people do not find the story having as much meaning for them as, oh, this guy just spent, or this woman just spent 2 minutes talking about herself and wasted my time. So those would be the common mistakes that I often see.
Interesting. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think valuable. I'll try it because I never thought to tell stories about present tense. Yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about your experience. You know, I have some students in my network who are looking for ways how to grow, what to learn, how to improve their skills. And let's imagine you started today from scratch without any experience, knowledge, skills, completely from scratch. What will you do today to learn more about storytelling?
I don't think anybody starts completely from scratch, Anatoly, and I'll tell you why I say that. Any time that you've watched a television show, or you've watched a movie, or you've read a book, or you read a cartoon in a newspaper, you have been exposed to stories. Very likely, your parents have told you stories about what it was like for them growing up, or your grandparents have told you stories that are important to your culture. So the first thing that I would say is think back to the stories that you've heard in your own lifetime that captured your imagination, and then think about how those stories were put together. What was it about those stories that captured your own imagination? And then you can start to transfer those skills into your own storytelling. So I don't think anybody is ever starting from scratch. That's the first thing that occurs to me. The second thing that occurs to me is just by implementing the structure that I introduced at the beginning, once upon a time there was, every day they, then one day, and as a result of that, something big finally happens, and the moral of the story is. So then you reverse engineer it to pick the story that's most relevant for your audience. So what I mean by that is you think to yourself, what is the main, and let's do it together. I'll coach you right now. So let's imagine you're giving a presentation, not a podcast interview, but you're going to give a proper presentation on your area of expertise in SEO or in marketing. What is the most important message that you would want your audience to take away?
I think not to copy others, to be yourself. Don't try to satisfy algorithms because they are changing. And even people on Google don't know how AI can rank websites because it's complex mechanism. So that's why I usually recommend to forget about search engines and think about human being, because many webmasters can't get results. Most of them can't get results. 91% of all websites can get results because they think about how to cheat the system, how to manipulate algorithms. But you can't. Today it's impossible. Google knows a lot, you know, probably not everything, but a lot. And today it's not the best time to cheat. Today is the best time to think about a human being and stand out from the rest. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you very much. I've heard two major themes in that. I think that A, I totally agree with you. B, I think it's powerful that you're getting that message out into the world. And C, I heard two themes in the answer to my question. The first theme that I heard was you can't cheat the system. And the second theme that I heard was don't copy everybody, be yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the main message that you want to get across. So now we're going to try to find the story to elucidate that message. So then I would say, when in your own life did you cheat and get caught?
Oh, yeah, I did it. I did it when I didn't have enough knowledge, skills. That was more than 10 years ago. So before Google algorithms, I've learned best practices. I did that many others did. So yeah, but when Google updated algorithms, I lost a lot of traffic, sales. That was hard to recover. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to tell the numbers, but a lot. So yeah.
So potentially that story about I tried to cheat the system and then I lost all my followers, that could be the story that you could tell to make the point about. So the moral of the story is don't try to cheat the system. Yeah. So that's one way that you could find a story for don't cheat the system. Then I'm going to ask you a similar question. Your second main message is don't copy anybody else, be yourself. So I'm going to ask you, when in your own life did you learn that lesson? When did you try to copy someone and it didn't work out?
So many times. Because, you know,
Think of one.
It's really, I can explain why. Because, you know, when you start something new, you always copy others because you don't know anything else about that. So if you start posting on LinkedIn, if you start writing blogs, you have no your style. You started from scratch. You need to analyze best practices to create your stuff. But in some time, when you have experience, when you can craft something new, when you spend time by combining best practices and own experience, you can create something new. But it takes time, and I think that's normal to start like anybody else, then to find your own voice.
Okay, so the message just changed. Originally, you said your message was don't copy others, be yourself. But now you're actually saying when you start out, it's helpful to copy others to find out what works for you and then iterate and evolve into something that is more authentic. So maybe that's more the message.
It's usual.
Yeah. So maybe that's more the message. And then you tell your own personal story. At the beginning, I copied this, this, this. It kind of worked. It didn't really work. It didn't feel like it was me. And then over time, as I started to experiment, I found my own way. That would be the story that you could tell. So we reverse engineer it. We start by saying, what's the main message that I want to communicate to my audience or my customers? And when in my own life or when in the history of our business, did we learn that message? And then that's the story that we tell.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Yeah, I'll try it. I'll try. I'll test it.
I mean, how it goes.
And I have the final question about the future.
Okay, I'm ready.
What kind of future will be in storytelling? Because many things are coming. AI we have today, it's not the future, it's present. But I think AI will develop and innovate because it's only the beginning of this journey. Many other things, probably metaverse, who knows? Yeah. Can you tell how to adapt today to the possible future and your prediction about the future?
Stories and storytelling have been around since cavemen and women sat around the fire and told each other the story of the hunt. So storytelling, I believe, is fundamentally the building blocks of all human communication. I do not think that artificial intelligence is going to take that away. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I'll acknowledge is that the first word of artificial intelligence is artificial. And what you and I have been talking about for almost 40 minutes is the fact that you need to show up and be authentic. When people talk about their own authentic, real experiences of having learned something or having said or done something or having had change thrust upon them and then they had to change their own life, their whole life, move to a new country, get a brand new job because they laid off, those are the stories that cut through. That's the example that you gave me about the daughter that went on TikTok to talk about her father. The reason people responded to that wasn't because of the book. The reason people responded to that is they saw the love of a daughter for her father and they were touched by that. So when you tell the story, the emotion cuts through when the story is a real story. And then the third thing that occurs to me is that, and I'm going to use Hollywood as my example. I just heard a podcast from the New York Times. It's called The Daily. And they were interviewing the film critic. The film critic of the New York Times that has been the film critic for more than 20 years is retiring from being the film critic. Not because he's retiring from being a film critic. He is still going to be a journalist, but he's finding that the films that he goes to see are the same thing over and over and over again because Hollywood goes, oh, everybody loves watching superhero movies. And how many superhero movies can you go and watch? So even in the world of artificial intelligence, when they say, oh, everybody likes this kind of movie, eventually they're going to get sick of that kind of movie and they're going to want to hear something new and original. And something new and original is real people's experience. So when you've got the film critic of the New York Times saying, I do not want to review any more movies because all the movies look and sound exactly the same, that tells me that artificial intelligence does not cut through and make the human connection.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, I think, you know, for me, like, AI is the same like tractors. You know, when farmers got the first tractor, many of them felt that they can lose the job, you know. Yes. But after some time, they learned how to drive this tractor, you know. So we need to adapt to learn. If we have this great technology, why not? I'm using AI even before ChatGPT. I used a lot, but yeah, it's better not to overuse. You know, when you overuse, it doesn't help because you can get generic stuff. But if you use in the right way, just for help, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great story, actually. When we think about the fact that when the tractor was first invented, farmers were like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna... And now, many years later, in many farming communities in and around where I live, they actually have a ceremony at the beginning of every spring where they all come together and they bless the combine. They bless the tractor. The tractor is going to bring us the best harvest ever and bring us the most food ever. So that's a story of a journey from I hated it to it's the most important thing. I'm going to get God's blessing on the machine.
Yeah, nice, nice. Carol, it's a big pleasure to get in my show, to learn from you. Thanks a lot for your time, for all these valuable insights. Tell our audience the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me to share that. So my website is my name. It's Carol Lempert. If you're watching us today, you'll see it on the screen right down here, but I'll spell it for you if you're listening. CarolLempert.com. You mentioned LinkedIn. So if people go to LinkedIn, also my name, you can follow me on LinkedIn. And my company name is Carol Lempert Speaking. So if you go on Facebook, you can follow me on Facebook.
Nice. Guys, you can find all these links in the description below. Listen us on Apple, Google, Spotify. Thanks again for your time. A big pleasure. Love all your valuable insights. I'm going to use to implement some of them because you shared a lot of them. Guys, thanks a lot for listening and watching us.
Thanks for listening to this entire podcast. Please rank your experience in Apple, Spotify, Google, or any other platforms that you may use. Also, please share your ranking mark on chat at seotools.tv to get a special gift. We'll see you soon on other valuable audio podcasts.